From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
On Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court backed President Donald Trump's so-called travel ban. Upon receiving the news, the president held a press conference. We bring you excerpts from that press conference here.
The ruling shows that all of the attacks from the media and the Democrat politicians are wrong, and they turned out to be very wrong. And what we're looking for as Republicans, I can tell you, is strong borders, no crime. What the Democrats are looking at is open borders, which will bring tremendous crime. It'll bring MS-13 and lots of others that we don't want to have in our country. It'll bring tremendous crime. So I will always be defending the sovereignty, the safety, and the security of the American people. That's why I was put here. We're discussing today the funding of the wall, which we very much need. We started the wall. We're spending a lot of energy and a lot of time, and started up in San Diego and other places. It's under construction now. We have $1.6 billion. But we're going to ask for an increase in wall spending so we can finish it quicker. It stops the drugs. It stops people that we don't want to have. And it gives us security and safety. And with that, I think we might just take a quick spin around the room, talk to a couple of the folks. Maybe, Senator, I'll ask you, Roy, do you want to say a couple of words about why we're here and what we're doing?
Well, I think with the leadership of Chairman Frelinghuysen and Chairman Shelby, we're actually trying to get these appropriations bills to the floor and get them on your desk, as you insisted, not in an omnibus. I think the last time we had a conference report on the Senate floor, this would be where the House passed the bill and we did, and we went to conference, was 2011. So we just passed the first three bills yesterday that the House had already passed, and we're doing our best to try to get back into business in a transparent way so that people can see what their government's doing.
Yes. We're in the first quarter of the appropriation process, if you want to use a football analogy. We're doing well right now. We're working together. I think both sides, Democrats and Republicans, realize it's in their best interest and the interest of the American people for us to pass on time our regular appropriation bills, bring it back to regular order to avoid crisis to crisis and threat of shutdowns and all of this. We're early. We're making progress. We're hoping to stay the course, but you're saying, and you said it several times, that you're not signing a big omnibus, I think resonates with all of us, and it makes sense to the American people.
Well, we got military taken care of. We had $700 billion for our military, and then the following year, $716 billion. We had to have it. We all knew it. Nobody at this table loved what we did last time, but we did love the fact that we got more for the military than anybody thought was possible. We also got $6 billion for the, if you look at the drug problem and all of the problems that we're having with drugs at every level, got $6 billion for that. The opioid epidemic and other things, so that was a good thing. And then we had to, unfortunately, do some things that we didn't want to do, but this time we don't have to do it. And this time we're very early. But we had to get our military funded, and now it's not only funded, it's never been funded that well. So we're very happy about that. Lamar, do you have anything to say?
Sure, Mr. President. First, thank you. Thank you for having us. And on the appropriations bills, we have two parts to our budget. One part's going through the roof. That's the entitlement part. The part we're working on has gone up over the last 10 years about the rate of inflation. And according to the Congressional Budget Office, will go up about the rate of inflation. And these are, for the most part, things you and I, that you have advocated. As you said, more than half is defense, so that's good. Another thing that's good is our national laboratory. Secretary Perry went to Oak Ridge last week. We're in a competition with China to see who has number one supercomputing. Thanks to the last two appropriations bills you signed, We are now number one in supercomputing in this country, which we need to be.
We just moved ahead.
You moved ahead. Now, Senator Blunt has chaired a committee today that just reported out for the fourth consecutive year record funding for the National Institutes of Health. You've got great people over there working on curing cancer, other things. So I would suggest that a part of your America First agenda would be the items in our appropriations for science, technology, research. You've signed two appropriations bills that do that. Secretary Perry, Senator Blunt, those things. I think that fits your America First agenda. So a lot of what we're doing is on your agenda, and it's going up at about the rate of inflation, just a little bit more. So we're watching the budget as we do this.
You know, Lamar, you mentioned entitlements. We were all set to repeal and replace Obamacare. And then we were very surprised by one gentleman who decided to vote against it after campaigning for it for about 14 years, or since its inception, I guess, 8 years. But that would have saved about $1 trillion. That one vote would have saved $1 trillion. Now, despite that, we are cutting, and you've seen some of the association plans that we've come up.
I was with Secretary Acosta in Knoxville on Friday, and you saw him the next day. That is a really good step forward that will help a lot of people.
It's a great plan. Secretary Azar is coming out with one in 2 weeks, which is going to be a phenomenal plan. These are plans that won't cost the country anything, and they're fantastic health care plans. And I'm glad you got to see that, Lamar. These are really good plans. And step by step, we got rid of the individual mandate in Obamacare. But we could have saved $1 trillion in entitlements with one more vote, and we didn't get that vote, so that's too bad. Steve, you have something to say?
Well, Mr. President, I was at Malleson Air Force Base on Friday. That's the 341st Missile Wing. A third of our nation's ICBMs are in Montana. What we need to do as appropriators is get our budgets done in time. No more CRs, no more omnibuses. These men and women are looking to us to lead. As they're defending our country, they want certainty. We've got our budget locked down. They're grateful for the increase in defense spending. I can tell you they're doing a great job defending our country. My favorite commander's coin is from that missile wing. It says, scaring the hell out of America's enemies since 1962. They keep us safe. There's a deterrent to keep us safe and keep
great
our
place.
World peaceful.
Yeah. I'll be there soon.
Looking forward to seeing you.
It's a great place. Susan Collins, please.
Mr. President, I just want to emphasize how much progress we're making in the Senate Appropriations Committee. By the end of this week, we will have approved every single one of the 12 appropriations bills. It's been years since that has happened, and that's under the leadership of Chairman Shelby. So that is great progress that does allow us to avoid continuing resolutions where you lock in last year's priorities and end up spending more. Omnibus bills, which you rightly have vowed to never sign again, and also the threat of a government shutdown. So I see it as tremendous progress. In the infrastructure area, which is in the transportation appropriations bill, working closely with your Secretary of Transportation, we have plussed up the money for grant programs that are going to be matched by state funds and will really be a down payment on your infrastructure program. And that went through the committee 31-0.
That's right, and which is really starting. We've actually done a lot of infrastructure that nobody knows about. We're doing it in little chops as opposed to a big bill, which is actually better. It's really, I think it's a much better way of doing it. Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you. Lindsay, we were together in South Carolina last night. That was an exciting evening. Those were excited people. They must have been excited to see you.
They thought you were too short. No, thank you for coming to help Henry. Well, the number one job of the federal government, in my view, is to defend the nation. You've taken a broken military and we're rebuilding it. We're on track to have the smallest armies since 1940, the smallest Navy since 1915. Now we're on track to have an army consistent with the threats we face and a 350-ship Navy. Every bill has been passed with bipartisan support. Senator Shelby has gotten every Democrat virtually to vote for every bill. If you want to keep this country strong, we're going to have to make some trade-offs as Republicans. Now, I'm willing to work with Democrats to get to yes, but yes has to be consistent with being strong.
You've always been there, right? You never change. Have you ever changed?
Not on this.
Huh?
Not on this.
What do you think, John?
Has he changed?
Not on this.
But he's right. Rodney?
Mr. President, it's been my pleasure to work with Chairman Shelby in the past. We've always worked together, but now we have a very strong working relationship. We both believe in regular order, and on the floor today, later this afternoon, we do the House Defense Appropriations Bill, which we work very closely with Mac Thornberry and the authorizers, but we're going to do that bill, make sure we get that passed with bipartisan support. It addresses both our defense need and our intelligence needs. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Senator, how's Anwar doing? Okay.
We are moving on Anwar.
Good.
Thanks to the good folks at Department of Interior working very, very hard in scoping process and the like.
And so, how's our beautiful little road doing in Alaska?
Well, we are moving along incrementally, not as fast as either you or I would like. But we recognize that process is going to be important here, and we are standing by the process.
Good.
So thank you for asking.
This was a road that was, I guess it's been, they've been trying to build it for 30 years. We're going to get it done very quickly. It's almost completed. So
10-mile, one-lane gravel, non-commercial use road. Yeah. That's what we've been fighting about for 30 years.
Yeah, many years. But we're going to get it done. I'd say within the next couple of months it'll be complete, and they can go ahead and build. And you'll have a good, safe road, which they've wanted for a long time. Any statements on this?
I want to follow on with the acknowledgement of process. Process is not a very interesting or sexy thing to talk about, but it is so necessary within this legislative process to have some semblance of what we call regular order around here. And that doesn't mean a lot for people on the outside, other than that through a regular order process, there is a level of transparency that comes so that you can see what you are signing, so that others can see what we have been working towards in terms of priorities. But that process is only successful if we are able to work with our colleagues on the other side. And I want to highlight what Lindsay has just noted. It is exceptional that we have been able to move these bills through. It's absolutely exceptional, and it doesn't come without hard work, and it doesn't come without us standing down off some significant priorities. And believe me, some Alaskans are saying, well, Lisa, I thought you supported this. I do, but I can't in an appropriations process. In order for us to do the business of appropriating, we have got to work with our colleagues on the other side. It means that those who are in the authorizing area need to be working to advance these priorities, whether it's defense or taking care of our public lands. But we have got to be able to work with our colleagues on the other side, sometimes as hard as that is. So thank you for encouraging us to do that, because I think that makes a difference.
It's been a very terrific group of people to work with, I have to say that. We're not finished, but it's been a great group of people. Marion?
Mr. President, just very briefly adding to what Senator Collins talked about. I think the American people, and frankly even a lot of our colleagues in Congress, don't understand what the appropriations process is all about. And one of your priorities has been infrastructure. Well, if you look at what we have done through this process, the appropriations process and infrastructure, it is a huge down payment on a priority of the American people, a priority of yours, and a priority of Congress's. So again, it's important to have regular order. I feel optimistic. We are led by our chairman, who has been, frankly, very aggressive about getting the bills done, getting them done on time. But again, it's important to, I think, all of us to kind of let our colleagues know that the appropriations process is the way to get a lot of our priorities done, and done quickly every single year. We're getting our job done, and we thank you for your help.
Thank you very much, Mary. Scott, anything?
Thanks, Mr. President. I appreciate it.
Great. The camera's going this way. This will be our next sort of maneuver.
Thanks for your time, and thanks for having us here. We appreciate it. I just want to speak to what the Senator was speaking about, and I think, you know, we're moving along, and I appreciate the Senate and, of course, my chairman and the rest of my peers on appropriations and how we're moving along. I just want to caution us and want to make sure that I can't leave the room without, you know, stating that we can't have continuing resolutions and government shutdowns when it comes to defense. You've done great work, Mr. President, negotiating, as our folks in this room as well. to make sure that we have the funds needed to have the maintenance and the readiness and the training for our men and women that are out there every day. But the continuing resolutions are absolutely devastating. So we just have to make sure that we're shepherding this process and with our eye always on there to make sure that we don't do that to them again.
And we agree. We all agree. Robert?
Well, let me just say, your statement a few months ago about that the omnibus bills has got to stop, that went a long way. And I think that sent a message to our Democrat colleagues that we have got to move forward with this, get the bills done, and not waste the taxpayers' money. So your statement in saying that no more, I think that's gone a long way.
And we're sticking around in August, right?
Yes.
We're sticking around in August. So a lot of work is going to be done in August, hopefully. But we've made a lot of progress. Look at Roy.
Unless we can get things done earlier. That's
well,
the goal.
That could be possible.
We can get things done earlier.
But we have to get some appointments done. We have to. Tom?
Mr. President, first, thank you for having us. Thank you for your leadership. I think probably all of us around this table would say defense is the number one priority, the number one bill. It's probably the only reason why you signed the omnibus. But I think I'm actually sitting next to the key to getting defense. We know for us as Republicans, defense is number one. Quite honestly, for Democrats, labor, health and human services, and education tend to be number one. And I think they'll hold you hostage in the Senate until we move this. And if we could move them somehow together,
I
think,
like
and that, by the way, is two-thirds of the discretionary spending of the United States is in those
we'll
two bills.
I
think that's what we should do.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice if we could work better with the Democrats, if they could work better with us, and we'll see what we can do. Because really, the whole campaign is based around resist, the word resist. And ours is based around getting things done, the proper things. And, you know, the reason I am so happy with, if you look at omnibus, we all hated it in one way, but in another way, it was a miracle that for years we've been hearing about our military. And when do we need a stronger military than now? We have to have it. Hopefully we'll never use it. But if you don't have it, that's when you're going to have to use it.
You know, Mr. President, in that bill, to your credit, 61% of the spending in that omnibus was defense. And then if you throw in veterans, you're at better than two-thirds. And then you throw in homeland, you're at better than 70%. So most of that bill really was priorities that you fought for. And we were out of the old one-for-one. We have to give them a dollar of domestic spending for every dollar we did for defense. It was a huge victory.
Well, I just have to say, getting VA accountability approved last year, getting VA choice, nobody thought that would ever happen. That's been looked at for, 30 years, 35 years? VA choice, where you can't, you're in a line and it's a long line and you go see a doctor. And we pay for the doctor for our veterans, our great veterans. And it's less expensive. You have people standing in line so long that literally they have a minor problem and ends up being terminal because they can't even get to see a doctor. Those days are over. So nobody thought we were going to get VA accountability. Nobody thought we were going to get VA choice. That's been talked about for many years, 35 years, and it never happened, and now we have it. So it's all good stuff.
Thomas, go ahead.
Yes, I just echo what everybody else said. I think, as Senator Shelby said, we're in the first quarter, we're driving, we're making good headway. The idea that you get into March and the fiscal year started in October and you still don't know what your budget is makes no sense at all. And it doesn't matter if you're talking to defense, it doesn't matter if you're talking to any of the cabinet agencies. Again, they all say the same thing. The continuing resolutions make no sense, they cost money. And so I think the good news is we're all working very, very hard to get this thing done.
There's been a lot of teamwork. There really has been great teamwork. Not perfect agreement, but pretty good. I'd say pretty good. We're going to ask for some additional money for the wall and border security, and I think it's probably deserved. But we need border security. We have to have it. And we're going to run on border security. They're going to run on open borders, and nobody wants open borders. Please.
Mr. President, I want to especially thank you for your push on opioid abuse. We're losing 64,000 people a year to opioid overdoses. We've made some progress on reducing the pill part of the problem, but unfortunately, in the meantime, the heroin pickup has more than taken the place of the reduction in pills. And all of that is coming from Mexico, along with fentanyl. and with heroin laced with fentanyl, the user has no idea of the dosage. And consequently, we have so many deaths, overdose deaths. So thank you for your work on opioid, on the problem, especially on closing that border. And we hope that that takes place, and we want to be of help in that regard.
Well, thank you. And even the fentanyl now is coming. It used to come directly here, and now the fentanyl is coming through Mexico, too. So we're going to close up that border. We're going to do what we have to do. Everybody understands it. Martha?
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for having us. And Alabama seems to be well represented in this room today. So, I just want to say, just to add to everything that's already been said, you know, most of the members in the House have never seen regular order when it comes to an appropriations process. And so we spend a lot of time back in our districts talking to our constituents about the importance of having this open, transparent process so it doesn't up with four people in a room negotiating how to fund our government, that the voices of the people that we represent are heard in the bills that we pass by having a process going through committee and then to the full floor. So I'm just grateful that you had us here today to discuss this, and I too am very encouraged by how much action is taking place both in the House and the Senate, and look forward to getting these bills across the finish line.
Thank you, Martha. Like to hear what you have to say.
Mr. President, thanks for having us here today. I want to tell you, your level of engagement on the appropriations process is distinct from what we've seen from other administrations. And what that results in is a better work product. You know, we have a responsibility, all of us who represent our constituencies across the country, to be tough on spending, to have strong oversight, to make sure that we're not spending more than is required, because these are ultimately taxpayers who are getting up each day. And they're working to fund this government, and what they're counting on us is to do our job to make sure we're not wasting money. And so the oversight of the administration along with the appropriators is really making a difference. And you're seeing the investments that you've heard today about defense, about veterans, about medical research. I mean, some of this is historic. The work that the appropriators did on medical research, you ought to take a lot of credit for. You're seeing almost a 25% increase in research in cancer and Alzheimer's in the last 2.5 years under just this administration. That's staggering, and I don't think the American people really know what work we're doing in that regard, and I think you ought to take credit for being a unique leader in that regard. And then when you get to homeland security and, you know, securing our borders, that's something that people in both parties in this country want. And when you see $64 billion worth of drugs coming across our borders, both across our ports of entry, both across illegally and just coming through legally, you know, coming through across our ports of entry without being checked, we need to do a better job of that, and your budget speaks to that. We're going to put billions of dollars in on border security, stopping Mexican cartels from trafficking drugs and humans into this country and abusing them and really leading to abuse of the American people. And so we're committed to that, but that requires all of us around the table to get our jobs done, and thanks for getting us here today to get there. Thank you very much.
And one of the things that's very important is right to try. We have these incredible drugs that won't be approved for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and people would have to leave the country if they had the money. Most of them didn't have the money, so they had no hope. They had no hope at all. And now you have the right to try, where we can take some of these experimental drugs, people that are terminally ill, and we're able to use them. It's an incredible program. It took 30 years, 35 years. It's incredible. I would have said that would have been an easy one to get done. A person is terminally ill, and they didn't want to give them a drug or some kind of a cure, a potential cure, because maybe it'll hurt the person, but the person is terminally ill. And this went on. And the complication was insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and they don't want it on the records and the whole thing. Anyway, we got it approved. Congress and the Senate, they did incredible jobs. Everybody worked very hard on that. That was very important. And Shelley, just one thing, in West Virginia, we've made a lot of progress with opioid. That's been a big problem for West Virginia, special people. And I hear we've really made a big dent.
I did want to add to what Hal had said about the opioid crisis. You've been great, and Melania has been very active on this issue. Very much appreciative. But through all of our bills, most of our bills, there is some portion of each one of these bills, almost that has some sort of opioid response to it, whether it's health, whether it's homeland security, whether it's defense. We're trying to fight it on all fronts, and that's extremely important. Now, the three of us met in your office with Senator Shelby last week, and as I chair, as Kevin does on the House side, I chair Homeland Security. I want you to know that your message is loud and clear on funding our Homeland Security. But that message that you carry is a message, really, that we all share. And we had our bill went out. It didn't go out unanimously like Susan's did, but it did go out with a very robust Democrat support out of our committee. And so we understand, in order to reflect that priority and to reflect the frustration that we see in our in and around our different states, a strong Homeland Security, strong TSA, strong Coast Guard, strong Secret Service, this is all really important to the American people. So
well, I think it's important to the Republicans. I'm not sure that it's very important to the Democrats, and hopefully it will become more important, and we'll be able to do something. Tom?
Mr. President, omnibuses are just unacceptable. It's something that Mick and I, in his previous life, we together fought against. So thank you for recognizing that. It lacks transparency. Negotiations are not included, and not including members of the American people or the administration. So we'll work through that. Thank you for that. But there's a different frustration that we've recognized, and that's the fiscal condition of our country. The American people are really upset with $21 trillion in debt and the trillion-dollar deficit.
I agree.
So you should know that the subcommittee I chair, we took a different direction, and we decided that just because you can spend money doesn't mean you should spend money. So we have saved $585 million and put it in a fund called the Fund for America's Kids and Grandkids that cannot be spent unless we are deficit neutral, to show that we're serious about this. And I want to thank Mick for his assistance, OMB, and your team has just been great to work with. But no, there's a group in the House that's ready to cut spending.
And, you know, I'd like you to take a look at the penny plan, because as small as it sounds, it's a very effective plan over a five-year period. If you can cut one penny out of a dollar, and then the next year another penny out of a dollar, and I can't imagine these great secretaries that we have can't cut a little bit, but I would like you to look at that, if that's possible. Maybe, Mick, you can take a look at it.
Yes, sir.
Anything to say?
I'll be real short. We need the border security money.
That's what we need, border security. We got to get going. A lot of bad things are happening, and I think we're doing it incredibly well. We have no tools. We have bad laws. We have the worst immigration laws in the history of the world, okay? So it's a joke. People can't believe it. Other countries look at us and they say, how is that possible? Somebody touches our land, we now take them to a court, to a judge. They want us to choose 5,000 judges. How do you choose 5,000 judges? Can you imagine the corruption just from a normal standpoint? Just common sense. Can you imagine the corruption? Go to the barbershop, grab somebody, make them a judge. Everybody's being made a judge. They want 5,000 judges more. It's crazy. Other countries, it's called, I'm sorry, you can't come in, you have to leave. This one, we have judges. If they step on our land, we have judges. It's insane. So we're going to have to change our whole immigration policy. And I was saying last night in South Carolina, when I came in, I inherited some things. We inherited North Korea. That's going really well. We inherited horrible trade deals. That's going really well. Nobody knows what's happening behind the scenes, but these countries that have been really, they can't even, I don't blame them, I blame our people, but they have just been ripping us for years. They want to negotiate so badly, you have no idea. We inherited a lot of different things, but of all of them, immigration is, it makes the least sense. It is a hodgepodge of laws that have been put together over years, and we have to change it. It's so simple. It's called, I'm sorry, you can't come in. You have to go in through a legal process. You don't have to see a judge where the judge is going to take 3 years before you can come back. In the meantime, you never come back because you're already in the country. You're someplace in the country. And that would be bad, but it's really bad when it's a criminal. And we have plenty of them coming into the country this way. And they use the children. They use these young children
for their own benefit. So we have to change the whole immigration picture, and we'll be able to do it. We need the border wall. We need the border. We need border security, and we need modern equipment, and we'll get it done. I have no doubt.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.